All right, we're gonna start. I want to welcome everyone tonight to the Boulder Town Council meeting. It is Thursday, April 4th, 2024. Josh and Ray are on Zoom, and we have Gladys, John, and myself in the room, so we have a forum.
Ray is off at the moment.
Oh, did he go off again?
He might have just been.
Want to wait a minute?
You could probably.
Okay, while we're waiting for Ray to come on, would everybody like to stand and we'll go to the Pledge of Allegiance?
Will you just wait one second?
Okay. Isn't it muted?
It had muted us when we had reset that.
Oh, okay.
Well,
so you just let's go over that motion again to approve the agenda.
Okay.
Gladys makes motion to approve the agenda as presented.
John second.
All in favor say aye, all opposed say no.
Aye.
John aye.
Judy aye.
Josh
aye. Hey, Ray's here. I vote aye.
Okay, very good. The agenda is approved. Now, if anyone has a conflict of interest according to the agenda we just passed, please speak up.
This is John. One item which I'll bring up in my staff report, so I will make the disclosure, that I have been working as an engineering consultant assisting Elena Hughes and Dylan Rose Geerlings in the Meadowlark subdivision. I have provided technical advice and have prepared draft documents. This type of assistance to citizens is allowed with disclosure, which I'm making, according to the state auditor training we all had. I have no financial interest in this project, and any nominal compensation for my services is not contingent on achieving a specific outcome. I intend to participate in council discussions regarding Meadowlark, but will most likely recuse myself from any votes.
Very good. Not on the agenda today, but all right. Thanks, John. All right. Next, as you all know, and if you don't, Bill Muse passed away March 22nd. So, you know, he was a large part of this community. And so I'm just going to read what I have here to give him a tribute. And they wrote a really, really good obituary in the Maggleby mortuary obituary. And it just showed up in the Insider. Mm-hmm. I saw that today. So it's in both places and it's the same thing. So Bill Muse passed away March 22nd, 2024 at home. He was born July 10, 1948 and was 75 years old. Excuse me. He was the oldest of five children. He went to Skyline High and excelled in football and track, attended the University of Utah and played football there also. He played a mean clarinet and was a member of the university's concert band. He coached Little League baseball, high school basketball, youth football, and was a scoutmaster for years. Bill married Adelie in 1965, and they parented three children, Jennifer, Billy, and Josie. He was the owner of Youth Farm since 1973, and as we all know, he loved and trained horses. Bill was president of Boulder Irrigation Company for 2 decades. He served on the town council from 2001 through 2004. He was elected mayor in the 2004 election and served three terms from 2005 through 2017. Besides taking on the responsibilities of the regular town business for 12 years, which is a feat in itself, Bill was instrumental in the remodel of the community center and the development of the town park. The Muse family has and will continually be a big part of the Boulder community. As a council, we would like to send the Muse family our sincere condolences. Bill's celebration of life will be on April 26th at the Community Center at 5 p.m. And you know, I think about the day you were born and the day you leave this earth and the dash in the middle and how that dash represents all your life. This was just a touch of, I'm sure, Bill's life. So anyway, we wanted to make sure that we honored him and I've tried getting hold of Adelie and they've been really busy, but I want to let her know that if there's anything we can do, we'll sure step up and, you know, do it. So, all right. Let's go on to the department reports. Josh, you want to start?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear it.
The dump, we got the resolution up. Not much new there, which is good and bad, I guess, as usual. Fire department, we made some purchases with CARES ARPA funding. That was approved at the last meeting, and we have new battery-powered chainsaw and a couple work lights. And then individual lights for all the members in-house and are in service. Well, or the individual work lights aren't in service yet, but all the other stuff is. Judith on the fire council, been in touch with her about sending out some sort of pre-season info about reducing weed load and that sort of thing. I'm going to be working with her on that. That'll be ramping up as we get more into fire season, of course. That's kind of it for now.
Okay, thanks. Ray?
Yes, hi. So I don't have a lot to report. I'm still encouraging our members of the park committee to get together and come up with a chairperson and a secretary for future use. Otherwise, as far as the library and other enforcement issues, nothing new to report.
All right, thank you. Gladys?
Yes, nothing on the cemetery. I don't think anything on the town hall. The group that is, I've talked to you before about, it's coming on May 31st, group of youth. You want to know what they could do? I suggested that they paint the dumpsters up here and probably the one over to the school. I'm not sure if we want to go out salt bowls because then you have to worry about transportation and supervision, things like that. So I figured they could do these, went over by the school. And if they're going to spend about 3 hours, they have extra time. Maybe Corey could kind of supervise them doing some cleanup around the town hall. The only thing is they'll need paint, and I'm not sure exactly what color that is. And they'll need some, you know, paint rollers and pans to do the paint.
When are they coming in?
The 31st of May. Okay. And I think we're planning on from 9 to 12.
9 to 12.
Okay. We'll get more details closer at times.
Okay. Is that it?
That's all.
John?
Okay. See, roads, I've contacted the tree committee and coordinated with them about having the arborist identify the trees that affect our maintenance on the town roads. So that's basically in their court. And really no maintenance work is scheduled until we adjust the budget, which I hope we do tonight. Under planning, the Active Trails Committee is working well, gathering information and discussing issues. And there will be a community forum to present initial alternatives and verify if I'm wrong. It's on Saturday, April 20th, 10 a.m. For the community forum. Okay, the other planning item. So the Meadowlark subdivision, Elena and Dylan, their subdivision application was voted on by the Planning Commission in November of 2022. And for a lot of reasons that I won't go into, was never considered by the town council. The applicants, Mr. Wynn and Aaron Smith, have been working on the Meadowlark issues, and everyone anticipates that the remaining issues can be resolved, and that Aaron will have a staff report available for the town council to consider this matter at our May meeting. Arts Council, they just purchased $4,500 worth of new sound equipment and are going to have a kickoff of their music education project at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, April 17th. And the other item from the Arts Council is that they've been trying to find space for their pottery equipment. Cheryl thinks the only option is to store it for a while, and they're considering buying the container owned by Katie and Shane that is now being used at the museum during the remodel. And they may want to put it on the town grounds. And they said if they can't come up with a better better option, that would be an item for us to discuss in May. That's it from our reports.
Very good. Rockville Planning Commission, we had three CUPs approved, one in Hatch, one in Panguitch Lake, and one in Escalante. Subdivision approvals, we had the Gallego subdivision that's about 5 miles out of Panguitch on the west side of 89. The reserve at Ponsagon Cliffs subdivision was approved. We have the zone change from agriculture to residential for that same subdivision. They had the public hearing and the zone change passed. So, we had the five counties mayor meeting, and we had like five different speakers come up. Area Agency on Aging by Carrie Sean Law. Outdoor Recreation Initiative by Patrick Morris from the DNR. Legislative Update from Cameron on ULTC, Dale Cameron Dale. And then Zion is coming up with some alternative routes for oversized vehicles. And so Lisa White came and spoke about that. That's basically all for the Garfield Planning Commission. The tree board, the proposed date to meet is April 16th from 2 to 3:30 at Boulder Town Park. They're going to be updating the numbers on the trees planted last year, trying to hit their goal. And they're waiting to hear from Ryan. Pam thought he was going to come in this week, but I haven't received anything on it, so I don't think that happened or is going to happen, because I think they would have put a message out. Did you hear?
No.
They sent it? Yeah. Pam, I think that she heard that from someone in the might have been miscommunication or something. Anyway, that's basically all I have on my report. Jess?
The only thing that I really have is that Heidi, for right now, she hasn't given us an official resignation, but she has resigned. Just things are a little too busy right now. And then trying to keep up with the 4 meetings that we have a month and a 15-day turnaround is just not doable for her. And so as for right now, she will not be continuing with us. It might be something that she can pick up later on, but right now we're just going to move with, she will no longer be with us. Lacey and I have been trying to make sure and get things out, but it does make it, like I brought up in that last meeting, the 15-day turnaround is extremely hard, especially, like I said, we're doing 4 meetings a month now. So we're trying to do our best, but if things are behind or not right on time, that is why. So for right now, we talked about the possibility of putting a notice out for Heidi's job, but it also seemed kind of like a great thing for Lacey with a new baby to be able to do at home. And so if everyone feels okay about it, we'll kind of see how that workload goes between Lacey and I, but we feel like we can do it. And it's a great thing that she can do at home as she transitions with this new baby and still be able to put in the hours that she would like. So as long as everyone's okay with that, we'll just kind of continue with that for right now. We'll see how it goes. But that's kind of the plan that we have.
Sounds okay to me. I think it's a good idea to at least give it a try and see how it works out. We can always go to plan B if it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We do Robert's rules. The only thing that I wanted to say, there was just 2 things. We got to make sure that when we make a motion and second it and we get into discussion, that everybody has the opportunity to speak once before a second person speaks again. The other thing that we need to do is once we have the discussion and we go into vote, then we don't say why we voted the way we do. We just say, because that was supposed to be covered in the discussion. So we just vote and leave it at that. So I just thought I'd cover those 2 issues. So, all right. Now we'll approve the minutes. February 6th, the special meeting. Hopefully everybody got through them. I talked to Jess and she said they were all updated with the edits and stuff. So we should be pretty good on the minutes.
And they have been for a few days. I think everyone got them in. So thank you everyone to getting them in on a timely manner, because then we got to edit them and have them prepared way before the meeting.
Cool. All right. So I will entertain a motion to approve the February 6th special meeting minutes.
I will make a motion. We approve the February 6th special meeting minutes as presented.
John, second.
All right. All in favor of approving the February 6th special meeting minutes, say aye. All those opposed, say no.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Ray, aye.
All right. February meeting minutes are approved. All right. I'll entertain a motion to approve the February work meeting minutes. What day was that?
27th. I know, I don't know why it's the only one I left the date of.
Okay.
So February 27th work meeting.
February 27th.
Okay. John will make a motion to approve.
Gladys will second.
All those in favor of approving the February 27th work meeting minutes, say aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Ray, aye.
All right. Now we'll move on to the March 7th regular meeting. Would someone like to make a motion to approve those minutes?
Gladys will make a motion to approve those minutes.
Do I have a second?
John will second.
All in favor of approving the March 7th regular meeting minutes, say aye. All those opposed, say no.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Ray, aye.
All right. All right, March 21 work meeting. I'll entertain a motion to approve those.
I'll make a motion to approve the March 21 work meeting minutes.
Gladys will second.
All in favor of approving the March 21st work meeting minutes, say aye. All those opposed, say no.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Ray, aye.
All right. Very good. All right, now we're going to open the public comments. 3 minutes maximum. You can't give your time to another person. I think everybody is pretty well familiar with that. So public comments are now opened. Tina?
I'm here as the chair of the Planning Commission to inform the town council that we have voted to have Lean Ellis come and do a forum on our next meeting, the 11th. We postponed the regular meeting to the following Thursday, not the following Thursday, but the Thursday after that in the month. The meeting will be discussing average lot sizes, and I think that it would be very important for anybody who has even a lot, 10 acres, to be part of it, or any interested community members. This is along the lines of our new ordinance, and I think it would be helpful for us all to have a better understanding. Lee is coming with no charge for travel, and he has been an instigator in this actual decision to, or not decision, but recommendation, and feels that it's a real win-win for this community, and has presentation that he will give. It's 7 to 9. We're using the community center. There will be kind of hands-on with maps and all of that, so it should give everybody a really good idea of what that option is versus 5 acre lots or the cluster development that we have in our ordinances at this point. I think it's a much more, it just gives a much more options for people who wanted to buy their land. So, and also it does give a good option for having our goals for our general plan covered, I think, in keeping the community able to continue to have agricultural land and open spaces. So that's my opinion on that. I also did listen to the budget meeting workshop. I would like to say that I think the expertise of Lee has been very helpful for the Planning Commission since 2018. And since I've been on the Planning Commission, I think he's given us perspectives that we would not have gotten with any other planner that I've had been dealt with the Planning Commission since, you know, I started a long time ago. He's been very interested in helping us get ideas about our general plan and how to implement things that will work best for our community. And I think he has done a good job. So I wanted to say that also. So thank you.
Thanks, Tina.
And the Planning Commission is aware of our his limitations coming forward.
I'd just like to say a couple of things about the RV issue that you guys are going to be dealing with. There's already people in town living in RVs. It doesn't seem to be a problem. Currently, I think that owners and guests, I'm not sure about this, are restricted to 90 days occupancy during the year. Is that? And just brings up a couple of questions. I think last month there was a discussion about people who are building their own house and they're having to live on site. And we know 90 days isn't going to get you very far building in Boulder. So another question is, how is it going to be enforced? Who's going to count the 90 days? Restricting occupancy to 90 days to me doesn't seem to be in the interest, Boulder's interest, the public's interest. So I'd like to see, I mean, the whole goal is to try to provide more housing, especially for seasonal workers, but for people who are also building their own homes. So I think that we need to have this be a little more open. Thank you.
Thanks. Anyone else? Other comments?
Hi, Blake Spalding. I want to say that I think it's really important that we pass a 9-month RV policy for seasonal people because that's the proper season here. And they're typically people who have lived here in RVs that are working. Their goal is to find housing in town, but you can't really find housing here unless you live here and people get to know you. It's not like there's a place where you can go and find a rental. And so the goal for everyone is ultimately to find a more reasonable place, but I think that the ad hoc old days of people like living out in the monument or living in their RV or not RVs, like their vans, it's kind of rough. And if we have infrastructure for an RV, it would be great if it could be a 9-month thing. And then my understanding is that for people building, it's 18 months and it does take a long time to build here. But if we're going to change the seasonal timing for RVs of letting people stay in it from 90 days, it would make sense to go to 9 months because that's the season. And then I guess the last thing I would want to say is like a lot of the people who come here and start in those ways have now settled here. They've met each other. They've married each other. They are having babies that are in the school. They're actually enhancing the community. They're starting their own businesses, but the barriers to entry here for people who want to live here are pretty high. It's hard to find land that's affordable. It's hard to find a rental. And I guess the town has to decide if they want barriers to entry or if they are willing to kind of make space for new young people to come and have reasonable places to live and good jobs, because we could hire a lot more people to work in our restaurant. Every business in town is hiring right now, and there's just not enough places. And so like we are pro work in this town. We're pro the funds that come to the town through the tourism and seasonal businesses. In order for us to be pro those things, pro small family, we have to also be pro housing. Thank you.
Thanks, Blake. What else? Now, you know, this is public comments. The public hearing for the RV thing is later.
There is a whole section for the RV ordinance.
Yeah.
It's fine. Okay.
Comment is a comment, so yeah, it's all good.
I'll be back.
All right. So, any more public comments?
Right. Yes.
Anybody on Zoom? I don't see any hands. Okay, it looks like we're done with public comments. Now we'll go into the public hearing. On this budget adjustments, this particular hearing is strictly for moving about $60,000. I think that's what it is, John. Isn't that what you wanted? It was $60,000. And we will pull it out of ROTC money and put it on the budget because it wasn't budgeted. We weren't sure of the money that we had. We are, Jessica's done an amazing job. I've said over and over again, it's only because I've been involved in seeing what a job that is, finding the money and everything else that's gone on. So, so when you move that kind of money and you move it out of, you move it onto the budget where it hasn't been budgeted, then you have to have a public hearing. So this is what the public hearing is for this, to move John $60,000 from the Road C money into the Road C fund, budgeted in the Road C fund for 2024.
2023-24 fiscal year, yes.
Yeah.
And a quick question, Jessica, did you also propose to move some money from administrative to fire?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have the second.
Okay. Yeah, but that doesn't require that.
No, but we might as well talk about it in here.
All right, that's fine. But it does not. Normally, it does not require
it.
That, and I just thought we'd cover that once we moved in to what we were doing. Yeah. All right. So we I'll entertain a motion to move out of the public meeting and go in.
Okay, I will move that we close the public meeting and open the hearing on the budget.
I'll second
that.
All in favor of closing the public meeting and going into a public hearing, say aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Ray, aye.
Okay. So now, anyone that would like to come up and speak about this budget, you're more than welcome. With no hands on Zoom and no enthusiasm in the audience. Okay. I will make a motion to close the public hearing on the budget and open. Well, I'll entertain a motion to do that.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Okay, I move that we close the public hearing and reopen the regular meeting.
Gladys will second that.
All in favor of closing the public hearing on the budget and opening the public meeting, say aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Ray, aye.
All right, we're back in the public meeting. So I'll entertain a motion to transfer the money out of the road seed funds into the... John, you want to make that motion?
Yes, I will... make the motion to transfer $60,000 from the Class C road funds balance and put it in the roads operational budget for fiscal 23-24.
Gladys will second that.
All right. Do we have any discussion on that?
I wanted to make one comment just for the record that our normal roads allocation is in the order of $30,000. $40,000 a year, depending on a number of things. But in any case, we are going to be spending more this year on roads than we have in the budget. But I think there's, correct me again, Jessica, $77,000 in the Class C roads fund. So we are certainly not depleting our roads fund balance.
On top of, I mean, there's a total amount that's, there isn't just 70 in the, right now.
Yeah.
But in the whole fund, there's
277.
Yeah, sorry. You just said 77.
Oh, okay. 277.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Yeah, there's 277.
So for the record, there's about $277,000 in the Class C road fund. We'll in effect be taking a little over $25,000 over and above our current year's allocation for roads with this year.
Okay. And in saying that, you know, we've been kind of on hold through the whole COVID thing and taking it one step at a time. Got the county to come in and help us out on roads. So now we have to address what didn't get done. And John's doing a good job. He's got a plan.
Yeah.
All right. So all those in favor of transferring, let me make sure I got this right, the $60,000 out of the road seed funds and placing it in the road fund budget for the 23-24 annual budget. Say aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Ray, aye.
All right. All right. Now, I'll entertain a motion to come out of the public meeting and go into the public hearing for the RVs.
Wait, let me have this conversation about the rest of the budget.
Oh, okay.
Where else were you going to do this?
Down where it says, oh, it is that. I apologize. It was in there. I apologize. That's right. Because we got to do that.
Yeah. Like, that's
the rest of the story.
Do not skip me. Okay, so this year when the budget was created, all of the utilities for the town building, firehouse, pavilion, library, they're all grouped into one. And it's under the admin utilities. And this year, like halfway through, as I really started understanding the budget and what we were seeing, I made a new line item just that we could really understand all the differences in the departments. Certain things like water, as our water is billed, it's billed into those separate categories, like the pavilion has its own, the fire does. And so really being able to track those and just really see where our utilities are being spent. I added in a fire utilities line item under the fire. With doing that, it created that we right now are negative in the fire budget, $3,189.10. On top of that, there's been some expenditures. You know, the fire truck went down. It was a really big fix because of how intense the other fire truck had some things come up on it. And so just some things that we didn't really allocate for, we weren't aware that, you know, that they would be happening. And so as of right now, the fire budget is over budget by quite a bit. And so since we were going to open the budget for the road BNC money, I was asked to go through and kind of go through the funds and see exactly where we had extra funds. And so as you can see, I went through, Polaris doesn't really do this for us. I mean, they kind of give us some numbers, which is where I was able to start the basics of this off. But you'll see, we pulled it out, put it in a Google spreadsheet instead, just so that we could create our own formulas. And most of the budget is actually in really good standing for where we are in the end of third quarter. So we just ended third quarter, fourth quarter started April 1st. And so what it is that at the end of this, we should be sitting at about 75% used of the budget where we are. And like I said, most categories fell really close to that percentage. Of course, some were a little over, some were under. And so I kind of broke that down just so that everyone can kind of see red is where we are negative, green is where we are over. But in the bigger view of things, so if you'll see like under total administrative, you'll see that like through those columns, there was some red, some green, but overall we're doing really good. We're actually sitting over at 11.2%. Same thing with the planning commission. So as you kind of go through these numbers, like I said, the budget was actually sitting at a pretty good point. Line item by line item, there's definitely some work that could be done. But again, this is kind of the first year that we've had like true numbers being allocated to the line items that they were in. And so I really wanted you guys to have this information so that you could make this decision. The one that is already on the spreadsheet and was submitted to you guys is that, so of course, just to take the money, the utility money, so the $3,150 out of the admin utilities, that's where it was budgeted into. So then we might as well take it out and put it in because that's where it was budgeted into. And so just moving it into the fire utilities. Now, we still are missing a little bit of money. And so we want to make sure that we not only bring the fire budget to a positive, but maybe even a little bit of leeway. And so this I didn't actually specify to everyone because it's really up to you guys at the end of the day where you pull these numbers from. But one of the ones that just kind of really stands out is on the expenses 4174. It's the admin capital outlay. And so there was $6,000 allocated into that fund. When we allocated that, there was talk, there was conversations about things like redoing the pickleball court and things like that. We were hoping that it would have been done last year. We had such a hard time getting hold of someone to do it that we didn't actually get to do that. We still, that is an important thing for the town to have done, but the chances of it happening in this fiscal year are not as high. And most likely it would not take up that whole $6,000 budget. And so what I was going to recommend is either there's $4,500 for sure, because I mean, if we say that we're at the end of the third quarter, if we were to leave, you know, fourth quarter amount in there, there's $4,500. But really, unless we have a plan for something that would happen before the 1st of July, that full $6,000 is sitting there without a plan at this current moment. And so that money is there and it can be allocated to the fire department. That way we're not having to touch the extra $50,000 that's in there as kind of the backup plan, which it's there, but then we have this already budgeted in the line items. And so that was just a second recommendation that I had for you guys. But again, I gave you all the information so that you could pull that money from wherever you guys kind of felt the most comfortable with. But that's, as I was looking at it, those are kind of what make the most sense to me, being able to pull all these numbers. So, and if anyone had any other questions or any extra things, yeah, let me know.
Tried to keep it simple. So we figured that way.
Yeah.
We only come out of two.
Do you need a motion?
Spots. Yeah.
Okay. Gladys will make a motion that we move the,
is it 3,000 or 3,100?
3,150 and 90. I mean, you could do 3,151.
We're still going to have some utilities mm-hmm. the rest of the year?
Yep.
Okay, so if I said 3,500, you think that would cover the utilities in the fire department?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll make a recommendation that we move 3,500 from the administrative budget, because technically that's where we put it in the first place.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, 3,500, move it to the fire department, and then also move 4,500 from the capital
outlay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then just leave the rest of it in case, because we talked about doing it if anybody's interested in the EMT, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's okay. Not the same one.
We call that
an ARPA. Okay. Yep. So okay. That's ARPA, just making sure. So this is capital project money. We had just allocated out into this. So that's what a capital outlay is. It's okay. Like where you would spend that. So this is totally separate from the ARPA.
Oh, okay. So I'll say the 4,500 mm-hmm. and the 3,500.
Yep.
Okay. Do I have a second?
John, second.
All right. So the motion's been made to transfer the 3,151 out of the admin.
No, I'm saying go ahead, do 3,500.
Oh, 35.
Yeah, and then they'll cover utilities the rest. Yeah,
3,500 out of the admin budget into the fire
utilities,
and the balance out of capital outlay, which was exactly how much?
4,500. Yeah.
Okay. All right, that one goes into fire utilities also to balance the budget and give us the rest of the money for this. Okay.
And so, I will actually say, just if you don't put it in the fire utilities, put it into the fire. I mean, it doesn't really matter. I can change those around anyway without it needing to be in here, but just say
fire
expenditures.
Yeah. Fire expenditures. Yeah. Okay. So it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed, say no.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Ray, aye.
All right. That's taken care of. Very good. Now, I'll entertain a motion to close the public meeting and open the public hearing for the updating the regulation of the recreational vehicle.
Quick point of order. Should we have the Planning Commission give a staff report on this before the hearing to just set the background?
Yeah, that would be good. Does anybody want to do that?
On the spot.
I like calling. Go for it.
All right. We did a lot of thinking about this, and it's pretty straightforward. We allowed that the RVs could be in RV parks as long as the RV owner wants them, as long as he wants to have them there. So that was one of the bigger ones. The length of time that you could stay in RV depends on your building permit. So if you have a building permit and you're working on your building permit, as long as you have a building permit, you can stay there working on your, you know, living in the RV. And the third one.
Did you extend the days?
We extended the days, didn't we? Work days. Oh, we allowed RVs on commercial for four employees. And what was the extension? I think that's it. Yeah, that's it.
It does say, I mean, it used proposed to be established for a maximum period of 120 days.
For what?
On the temporary use.
120 days on temporary use.
I'll be dealing with that.
Okay. Is that what we did?
Dealing with it. That's what's in the ordinance right now.
Right now that we passed on. All right.
Correct.
It was very.
There's quite a few things.
It was a lot.
Okay. Well, anyway, it took months.
That doesn't.
All right.
Now you want to go to the.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, John.
Okay, I will make a motion to close the regular town council meeting and open the public hearing on the RV ordinance, which I think we now will be calling 2024-2.
Gladys will second that.
All right. All in favor of closing the public meeting and opening the public hearing for the RV ordinance? Say aye.
Aye. Gladys says.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Ray, aye.
All right. All those that would like to speak in the public hearing, come on.
So this is the real McCoy on the RV. Okay.
So I'm Jennifer Gerlings. Thank you all for your time doing your job here. So I just wanted to make a couple comments about the RV thing. I would like to just advocate for more flexibility and overall flexibility, length of time, RVs. One of the things that's come up is people are concerned that, you know, there's going to be RVs everywhere. And I'm like, well, look around. There's a lot of RVs right now everywhere. In fact, it seems almost like a rural right to me. Like if you don't go any through any town, you're going to see RVs. A lot of people have RVs. They have them parked. They have them stored. And I don't think anybody here, or maybe, but I don't think anybody's advocating for restricting the for storing of RVs. I think that would probably cause a riot in rural Utah if anybody proposed that. And obviously you're not proposing that. But because we already have RVs, I don't think that there should be, I think there should be much more flexibility in allowing people to use RVs. I don't really see that there's going to be any change for people as they go down the road and they see a stored RV, whether it's having a family in it or not. It's still an RV there. We're still looking at an RV and it's a potential housing for somebody. So I feel like, you know, the argument about we don't want our, if in fact that is, or I've sort of heard some murmurings about that. I just don't think that's particularly valid because we've already got them. And for me, it's makes a lot of sense that we have here's potential some housing for people, and you're already putting some restrictions on your length of time. I'd hope you'd be more on the flexible side on that. And that it makes sense to me that instead of having an empty RV, that if somebody can use that for a good purpose, that seems like a good use of materials, already all the energy that's gone into creating the RV, like, why wouldn't it be used? And why would we limit it to just, you know, I mean, for just strictly recreation or whatever, if we can use it for a good use and it's meeting a seasonal need, or longer term, that makes a lot of sense to me. So I, that's what I'm here to say. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks. Anyone else?
Hi, it's Jen Bach. Looking at the proposed draft, the temporary use while constructing a permanent dwelling, it's great that it's attached to a valid building permit. My question is, how does the town plan on keeping track and enforcing it? Will there be a system in place for it to send a notification to someone that they have to check and make sure that building permit is still valid or current? Otherwise, I did have some questions, but I don't know how to resolve them about RVs for businesses, wondering if they're linked to the business being open or closed, but then because we have year-round businesses, I don't think it's resolvable. So I just don't know if that matters.
Right.
Anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Elena Hughes. We've been going over this in Planning Commission for a really long time, and took public comment a few times. And I think that it's really important that the town considers housing to be an important thing. And I know that we all would love to see different housing projects go on too, but those would be really long-term and would be really hard to implement. And this is a way that we can make a difference now for people trying to work and live in town. I think this is important. I think it's well thought out. I don't think that there are any municipal concerns that are raised by any of the ways that we would be allowing people to live RVs in RVs by this ordinance. I also just have a question. I'm sorry if this is repetitive because I wasn't here at the very beginning of the meeting, but I know you can't answer questions right now, but I'm wondering if Ray will be voting on this or not because of his RV campground that's in process. I'm just curious about that. Thanks.
Hi, Blake Spalding, me again. So I had a question. I haven't reviewed this draft, but I did just hear something about 120 days. In the old days, the 90 days were contiguous and we would file it with Judy and then we would keep track on ourselves. But I guess that I would hope that it would be long enough to match a restaurant season. And then I did speak with a couple people on Planning Commission and was asking if there would be a different designation for agricultural land. Like, for example, let's say our farm, we put in a central bathhouse that's tied to a septic and we have put in electric towers or whatever for the RVs so they're not a fire hazard. They're not like plugged into like a house outlet or something. And I wonder about making sure that there's proper infrastructure and then a separate category for agricultural because most places treat that separately in here, like for a ranch, like even way, way back long ago when we were talking about the farm and housing on the farm. The fact is to have a farm, if you have animals, like I do with chickens and so forth, you need people there at night. You know, you can't just walk away. And so that was a thing with the ranchers and like who has housing where and just wanting to make sure that we're keeping the agrarian quality intact and allowing a different kind of category for ag to encourage farming and agricultural use because our land, we pay ag taxes, it's an ag use. So anyhow, just a thought. Sorry to come late to the table and you've been doing this for months and months. And thank you, Planning Commission, for working so hard on this. I've been hearing a lot, and thank you, Town Council, for taking it up, because it is really important that we figure out housing for people. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, Mark.
Hi, Mark Nelson. I don't have a lot to say, or maybe it'll turn into a lot. But so sat in most of these meetings on this, and I think it's in pretty good shape there. The couple of things I brought up at the Planning Commission meeting that were never addressed by the Planning Commission, but I think are worth talking about. One of the main ones is on the employee housing, which I think is okay, but I think it's kind of open-ended, because they didn't really put any quantifications in there about how long, how much, how many, you know, that's not been addressed. So I think that's incomplete. I think that needs to be some quantification there, and so we know exactly what's going on there. And I'd like the town attorney to comment on that. Yeah. Then also over there on the accessory dwelling unit commercial, allowed in commercial zones. I'm not quite sure if you're talking about an accessory dwelling for a home business. You know, I think that's problematic, because the idea was a lot of conditional use permits for home businesses, but then adding another, RV as an accessory dwelling unit for adding to the commercial business, I think that's got to be clarified. I know it's just kind of, I don't know if that's quite what we were talking about when you're going to allow home businesses, conditionally for a business and a home in a residential area. Then just one other thing was, this was talking about in general about the RV ordinance, not in the changes, but in the way it's been. And this isn't about the changes, but I think since we're doing the RV ordinance, it'll probably be cleaned up and clarified. This idea of PC allowances in those zoning districts, PC being defined as potentially compatible in a lot of the classifications in the table of uses. And I can find nothing in there that defines about what a compatible use is. I mean, nothing that says anything about compatible uses. I mean, that's so subjective. How can the Planning Commission even deal with that issue without any guidelines or potential quantification? And I think these are some of the things that we need to be cleaned up before we, you know, finalize this rehab of the ordinance. But the other stuff I think is pretty reasonable, and I think, you know, it was hard for the Planning Commission to go through this, because it's so much, and I think they put together pretty good, but I think they got a little tired of it at the end and couldn't address every issue before they like burned out. So those things that I mentioned, I'd like Michael Wynn to comment on those, on that open-ended issue, and then also on this idea of what constitutes a potentially compatible use. Thanks.
All right, anyone else?
Can I just ask you which one of you made the motion and who seconded it? Sorry, since it's just you two, I keep being like, John, yeah, Gladys.
I made the motion.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt the meeting.
Okay. Anybody on Zoom?
I don't see any hands.
I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing, and
Gladys will make a motion to close the public hearing and go back into the regular meeting.
John will second.
All in favor of closing the public hearing on RVs and going back into the public meeting, say aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Ray, aye.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, I would like to have someone make a motion to open this ordinance up to review and to make edits. And after that we get done and we want to pass it, then we can. If not, we can postpone.
Okay, I will make the motion to open the ordinance 2024-2 for well, this will be a motion to open discussion on the ordinance.
I will second that. Gladys.
Okay. All in favor of opening this ordinance up for review and editing, say aye.
Gladys aye.
John aye.
Judy aye.
Josh aye.
Ray aye.
All right, I think let's take a page at a time and I guess we can open it up and say, does anybody have any changes or anything that they see they would like to change on the first page? At least that will get us started.
I have nothing on the first page.
What? Josh, right?
Not on the first page.
Okay. Ray here, no.
All right, let's move on to the second page. Does anyone have any edits or comments on this second page?
Yes, Gladys would like a definition on what that PC means.
It's at the top. So on the first page, I gave it to you. Gladys, look here.
Okay.
I forgot to you. I'm going to throw it at you, but it is in there on paper. Sorry.
Okay, that's what I mean. Exactly what this potentially compatible.
Who's going to know that myself? I read that on. Okay. Do you guys know? John, do you know what potentially compatible is on
that? Generally, that we've interpreted that as needing a conditional use permit. So then it goes under the conditional use permit process through the Planning Commission.
I looked it up and didn't find anything that satisfied my.
So basically, it means a conditional use permit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're on page two. Anything else on page two?
Yeah. I guess I find a fundamental incompatibility with our timelines. Temporary uses are 120 days and then have to cease after 120 days, which...
What number are you on?
It's in there. It's in the table of uses where it says recreational vehicle occupancy near the bottom of the table of uses there. Let's see, five rows up. And it has T in every zone. And that, by definition, cannot be, according to a temporary use, more than 120 days. So I guess I mean, I'm not sure why it's just not permitted. That would make this quite easy. So we could do it that way. I guess you could make it PC and make it a CUP to have it more than 120 days, or we could reframe the length of a temporary use. At any rate, the 120 days isn't compatible with the season, so it's silly. That's a kind of a big issue with this whole approach, in my opinion. So I guess I would,
do you want to make a motion on that?
I think that you have to go talk about something else first before you.
I'm trying to avoid interrupting Josh. I've got a motion ready on the next page to take care of that.
Okay.
I could also explain the 120 day thing a little better if that's helpful. Any questions?
Go ahead. Yep, come on up.
Okay. So
So yeah, I asked this same question actually at our last meeting because I felt like the 120-day thing disagreed with other things. And I think the way it's written isn't super clear about that. But basically, when you read that section that mentions the 120-day thing, which is at the top of page 3, it's basically like as long as you satisfy A, B, or C. And so C allows temporary housing and recreational vehicles if you are in accordance with those other provisions below. So basically, if you're in accordance with those provisions, it sort of cancels out A. So potentially that could be reworded so that that's a little bit more clear. But the intention that Nancy had writing this, because I asked the same thing, was if you satisfy A, B, or C, you're good. And so if you satisfy C, then you can be longer than 120 days. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
All right, Josh, does that answer your question?
Okay, give me just a second, sorry.
Perhaps we could move to the next page and then come back to it if we're not satisfied.
He's agreeing. Same. He's okay. Nodding.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
All right. So let's go on to page 3.
Okay. On this one, on 153.172, the first paragraph clause there on that third page, I propose changing item C to read temporary housing and recreational vehicles in accordance with the provisions of 153.201, 153.175, and 153.176 is not subject to the time limit in 153.172A, which is exactly what Elena said. It's just making it explicit in the ordinance that the 120-day limit does not apply to condition to see the temporary housing and RVs. So I'll make that as a motion to change item C.
You changed the word.
Yeah.
I'll second that.
All right. So
can I ask you to maybe explain that only a tiny bit more? Because like, so C, temporary housing and recreational vehicles in accordance with the provisions in 153.157, but 157 is about when you're
215.
So maybe so was that in your motion to change it?
Yeah.
Did you include that in your motion? Sorry. Okay. No, I have yours.
Yeah.
I have it.
Yeah. If you use the red line.
Yeah. Okay. So I dismiss the.
So what is the 201.175?
No, that 201 is the one that allows people to live in their RVs for 90 days if they have sanitation provided.
Okay, so you're adding that to the one, so it's 201.175, 153.175, and what was the other one? Was it this 176?
176.
So the only thing you're doing is adding the 201.
Yeah, and then saying that that is not subject to the time limit in A.
Okay.
Which is what Elena said, is the intent. But this just makes it unambiguous.
All right.
Okay, wait, John, one more thing. I'm so sorry.
Sure, no.
Okay, so what you wrote, 153.201, later, and maybe you're going to change this later, but on page 4, they take out 153.201, just a section of it, and they put it into 153.173.
Yeah, but we still have 153 A, B, and C.
Okay, so that's the part is just
still there.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, so make that motion again.
Okay, so I move that we replace the proposed item C with the following. C, temporary housing and recreational vehicles in accordance with the provisions of section 153.201, 153.175, and 153.176 is not subject to the time limit in section 153.172A.
All right.
Gladys will second that, yeah.
All right. All in favor of what John just said.
Well, I guess I'll take a step back. What What is a temporary use permit? Like, what are we permitting? How does this thing work? I've never filed one. But I mean, what does it do if we have a time limit and then we exempt the time limit? Like, doesn't that just make it a permitted use? Like, what's the difference? Like, this is an incredibly complicated way of saying something's permitted, right?
Okay, so John, okay, Dan said, please, Planning Commission, you can weigh in if I'm misquoting you. But what the discussion was, okay, we wanted some way that the town knows that this is happening and can verify that sanitation is being provided. I think that's always the big concern. And so the temporary use permit is approved at the zoning administrator level, so it's very straightforward for the applicant. We haven't established a fee for it, so they basically just have to come in and fill out the form saying how they comply. There is a fairly detailed section on conditional on temporary uses in 53.4.
So, Marcia lost service.
Okay.
Or if you do need to sanitize it.
Okay, I see we have an actual temporary RV use permit application form on our website.
Well, we will have to create one now, but we in theory have a check for a use permit application process that goes to the zoning administrator, and it asks, you know, what's your sanitation plan? What's your solid waste plan? And so forth.
We have one on our website right now. We have one. And it says bathrooms, facilities are properly connected, sewers installed. Okay, but it's just an attestation. This has 90 days stuff written all over it as well. So this whole form would need to be revised. That's within the scope of this change. RV with or without bathroom facilities is parked within 100 feet of a dwelling. And where it has self-contained facilities, and then under penalty of perjury, you attest that this is all true. So, okay. So that we just want them to certify under penalty of perjury that they have working facilities, but there's no proof. Like, we're not requiring anyone to present a septic inspection report or, right? Like, it's just an attestation. So that's, So we just want people to sign off under penalty of perjury. I mean, I'm just stating out loud what the current state of the situation is. So that's our burden of proof that we're comfortable with. People just saying, yeah, I got this. And we have a separate form. I mean, okay.
We're going to let Tina address this, John.
Josh, because this is not, this ordinance has not gone through, the temporary permit is in the process of being looked at to, you know, coincide with the ordinance, but at this time it is not. It's because we haven't gotten to the point where we're actually going to agree on the new ordinance. But it is in the process, and I think that Nancy, actually, who's on, has been working with it with Aaron at this time, kind of going through it and seeing what needs to be put in it. So.
All right. Anything else before we, any other discussion on this before we vote? All right. All those in favor of John's motion, say aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Ray, aye. And I should probably say, dispatch just called me about a stranded motorist down Hole in the Rock Road, so I'm going to have to bow out.
Okay.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
For all of your services.
Appreciate it. All right.
Until next time.
That motion passes on 153-172C. So let's move on.
Can I make a quick point of order comment here before we leave? Right. Since Elena brought up the conflict of interest question with regard to Ray, the guidance I got when I was on the air quality board was always, if it affects you, if the action affects you uniquely, you shouldn't vote. But if it affects everybody who would be similarly situated, so any other campground owner as well, it was legitimate to vote and bring your expertise on that subject to the table. So that was the guidance I got on the air quality board, Ray.
I'll speak to that because Gladys and Ray both own businesses that are subject to the regulations that are being affected by this conversation and the vote, and therefore should definitely, at least under my reading of the state ethics code, be disclosed before discussion takes place on the matter in the meeting. Regardless, I mean, they don't have to recuse themselves or whatever under state law. And, you know, I don't personally, there's not a huge financial incentive here, but or personal gain involved, but I mean, their business is subject to regulation that they're taking part in discussions on. And that seems to be clearly within the realm of disclosure before the matter is discussed by the body. That's my opinion on that.
Hey, but I have a question. I assumed I was grandfathered in, whatever's there. He was already there before any of these ordinances started.
Yeah.
Is that so or is it not so? I don't know.
Your grandfather, but it would affect your competition, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, or any changes you want to make, you would potentially be subject to, you know, if you change things, then, right? I mean, usually you have to be brought up. Anyway, I mean.
I've got no problem recusing myself.
No, you don't need to recuse.
Or did they?
Yeah, it's the disclosure is the, you know, just say, yeah, I own an RV park.
So right now, Gladys, if you would like to, you should say, I would like to disclose that okay. I own Halls that has an RV park as part of it, as we were talking about an RV ordinance. Except for that, just about every single part of this could affect you because you also are a property owner. You also own other businesses in town. So I don't know which part you disclose.
I better disclose.
I own it all. Because if we talk about it being on agriculture, that's you. Or if you talk about it being at Annie's a business, that's you. If you talk about it at Hall's, that's you.
Well, okay. I'm involved.
Okay, Gladys, has disclosed that she is involved in Hall's. And Ray is no longer here. He's left, so we'll make sure we let him know, though. If this goes for a vote, he has to disclose the rest of it when we pass the ordinance. All right, so let's move on. We're down to 153-173 exemptions. Does anyone have anything that they would like to review or talk about editing the rest of this? Page 3. All right, let's move on to page 4. All right. Does anyone have anything that they would like to edit or review on this page?
Yes. Josh, do you want to take that one on power?
Yeah, I don't think that we should require people to have power to live in their RV on their property. It's not a sanitation issue. And if people choose to live without grid power, what kind of power are we talking about? It's outside the scope of our concern as a municipality. And so I think for people that are living on their RV while they're building, living in their RV on their land while they're building their house, you know, water and on-site wastewater is all that should be the minimum requirement.
So what kind of power are they going to use?
I don't care. I don't care if they have power. I lived without power for years. It's fine.
And I do want to say, so the ordinance does actually state, and the Planning Commission actually maybe can say this too, right? Because Elena actually asked the same question, that power is actually tying into the grid and or solar. So it does actually define that in the ordinance. I just wanted to state that.
And
but that, you know, that certainly was the intent that, you know, we do allow self-contained RVs, which can run off battery, they can run off solar. And we also have in the 153.201 a provision about, you know, generators cannot cause disturbance. So I'm not sure, you know, that we and one of the things, as you know, speaking from my own experience, sometimes getting Garkane to hook up power can take time. That can take years. So, you know, I think it would be very appropriate to just end the sentence with saying that the RV must be connected to have reasonable access to culinary water and on-site wastewater disposal, period, and just drop the and power. So I would make that as a motion.
Yeah.
I will second that, and then if there's some discussion.
Okay. It is open for discussion.
I guess I would also say we need to concern ourselves with enforcement and in the form, the temporary use form. You know, if we do this, you know, I guess you could say to do it well would involve showing proof of things that we care about instead of just an attestation under threat of perjury. And in that case, it's just more stuff that has to be proven up that's irrelevant. Like, no one's going to live without some form of usable power for very long nowadays. It's too cheap. And we don't really need to care how or where that looks like when someone's doing their own thing on their property. Maybe they don't get power for a long time and they're running off a few batteries with a solar system. How do we prove that they have it or not? I mean, it just gets ridiculous from a enforcement perspective to care about things that aren't actual, you know, human health and safety issues.
John, do you have that up about the generator? Because that's the one thing I'm concerned about. I mean, solar batteries, I don't care about, but, and they do have quiet generators, grant you that, but I've been in situations where it's been a problem. So that's what I'm concerned.
Could you bring up, what if you bring up 153.201? I think it is going to be about halfway down. There's a clause about generator there. Or the quick search, do search on the heading 153.201 and the word generator and you'll get it.
153 generator?
153.201.
Oh, on the ordinance we already have?
Yeah.
From this page, just kind of see one. Which one are you talking about?
If a generator is used for electricity, the generator must not interfere with the quiet enjoyment of any other property owner. That's what it says. It's also worth noting that they're building a house, which is implicitly a very loud, continuously loud activity. So there's nothing to stop that.
That's only one part of this, because the other, this is still covered.
Yeah, so
and it's
I,
not just
building. Yeah, I think that you know, again, I'll always come back to the fact that when we write ordinances, we shouldn't base them on fear. We should base them on legitimate municipal concerns. And I think the neighbor having a noisy generator is no worse than them having a barking dog or a car with a bad muffler or a tractor that's running first thing in the morning. You know, that's part of living in a town.
All right. Well, Gladys, you've got any comment on it?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine with just, yeah, taking the AND power off.
Okay. All right. So restate your...
Okay, so the motion will be to change the final sentence of 153.175 to read, the RV must be connected, or no, to read, the RV must be connected to or have reasonable access to chlorinated water and on-site wastewater disposal in a period.
Gladys will second that.
All right. It's been moved and seconded that they remove the power. All in favor say aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, no.
Josh, aye.
All right, motion carried. All right, next. We're still on page 4.
Okay. I on the 153.176A3, I will make a motion that we change the it to read that the primary occupant of an RV of the RV shall be a worker employed at, shall be a local worker, period. And that would be the motion, and then I'll discuss it if it's seconded. So this is in the section on RV occupancy on commercial sites.
So you're saying the primary occupant of the RV shall be a local worker, period?
Yes.
And you want to get rid of the rest of that sentence?
Yes, and then I can explain why if we hit this.
I'll second it.
Come on.
So I've moved, Josh seconded.
Okay. So okay. Now it's open for discussion.
Okay, so the reasoning is that when you start tying it to being the business occupying the site, and you start thinking about the realities of Boulder, there's all sorts of unintended consequences. One is a part-time worker who's working for multiple employers. Another one is that a lot of times the businesses on the site don't own the site. And with, for example, Hills and Hollows, the store is owned under one corporate entity, and Balance Brock LLC is actually the owner of the site. And the same thing with the lodge property, that the lodge ownership is different than Blake's ownership. So there's a ton of unintended consequences if you try to strictly tie the occupancy of the RV to who that person is working for. And our intent is to provide housing for local workers. And it really wouldn't hurt the town if the person living in a trailer on Dave Mock's property was working at Hills and Hollows three quarters of the time. We're still meeting our purpose of adding employee housing, or the reverse. So that's my reasoning.
All right, anyone else?
Yeah, I mean, again, how in the world would we ever enforce that? I don't think that's really even just making it a local worker statement is more of a statement of intent, but trying to nail it down, I think it also makes more of a company town thing than I think there's unintended consequences to that are much worse than just leaving it sufficiently vague to state our intention that these are for local workers.
I
Okay, so what are we saying we want it to say then?
So it will then say that the primary
occupant of the RV shall be a local worker. Period.
Yep. Primary occupant, because you could have couples, person with a child, whatever. So you could have other occupants, but at least one of them has to be a local worker. And we just don't worry about defining who a local worker is.
I know I'm supposed to talk about a question. So, like, does that
mean? Hang on. Sorry. If she's going to say can that I, you can not ask it, you need to go up to the.
Yes.
Thank you.
And this might be, this is Jen Bach, this might be a question for the attorney. Does that make the business owner a landlord rather than somebody housing the employees of their business? And then how does that deal with if they want to evict the person living in the RV because they have another employee coming in? Like, does that complicate things is a question that I have.
Yeah.
So thanks for letting me ask that.
That's why Mr. Wynn added clauses 4 and 5, Jennifer. Clauses 4 and 5, yeah, are exactly to address that. I think again, this becomes not a town concern, that if there any rental agreement between the landlord and the occupants of the, you know, whether the person owns the RV and is just parking it or is renting a RV that somebody else owns, that rental agreement is not the town's business. That's a private contract between two individuals.
Just what I wanted to ask.
All right, so.
So Josh, are you okay with it just saying local worker?
Yeah, I think it's much more sensical. And I shared John's sentiment that, you know, whatever that relationship is between whoever owns the RV and who's renting it or staying there as part of their wages or any of that stuff is way outside the scope of our concern, and we shouldn't be trying to legislate that. And most importantly, because we're never going to enforce it anyway, so let's just stop making legislation that we don't intend to enforce.
Okay, John, do you want, how about my number 2? Do we still want power on that one?
I think that's probably pretty reasonable on okay. A commercial, because at a commercial car property, there's going to be a building nearby with power.
Okay.
Yeah, and also to comment on that, Gladys, I thought about that as well. And you know, there's probably could potentially be some form of rent-like trade or compensation involved. And there, you know, at that point, it's okay to establish minimums. Like, this is outside the scope of someone suffering on their own property, right? So.
Okay, so. The primary occupant of the RV shall be a local worker. A person employed at least at a local business. You know, just local worker, I don't know.
Well, I mean, an example was that for a while there, I was renting to Ranger Mike, the BLM Ranger. He's not working for a local business, but he's certainly a local public service worker. So, I mean, that's the kind of unintended consequences you could get into. So I think our intent is here that we're going to allow, if a business owner is willing to host a RV on their property, we allow it. That's really the intention.
But I really think we should have something about a business. I don't think it should just be local worker, because that's what we're trying to do, is help the businesses with housing. So if we leave that wide open, the primary occupant of the RV shall be a local worker employed with a town business. Without putting the hours and everything in there. I would rather have something in there like that. It's a good point, too. So the primary occupant of the RV shall be a local worker employed with a local business. And that could take in anything. That could take in construction or whatever.
Yeah.
But at least it's a town business.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're basically... You don't want someone working remotely, for example, right? Like I could technically be a local worker, even though none of my clients are in Boulder, right? But I work in town, and we—that's not what we're going for, right? Like that. Yeah.
I think we ought to put at a local business. I think that's a valid point.
Yeah, or a worker at a local business, something like that. Yeah,
and everything else, but a primary. So the motion has been made to stop at local worker. So we need to vote on that, and then,
or if you all are agreement, you can make a friendly amendment. If you both agree, you can. Yeah. You, because you've just finished his word. You agreed with him. You okay. Said shall be a local worker, and then
we can do that. Yeah,
you can go with
friendly amendment.
I'd prefer to vote on the local worker.
Okay. All right, well, let's finish it there and see what happens, okay? So the motion has been made and seconded and discussed to take 153-176, number 3, and the primary occupant of the RV shall be a local worker, period. So all those in favor of that say aye. All of those opposed say no.
Gladys, no.
John, aye.
Judy, no.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's good. I guess I'll say no. I'll say no. And then I will immediately make a motion to amend 153-176A3. To read that the primary occupant of the RV shall be a worker employed at a local business, period.
Gladys will second that.
All right, discussion on that.
Give me just 1 second, I just want to make sure. So all you, oh, you did, local worker employed at a...
We're just going to say yeah. Worker, not local worker.
Yeah, oh, right. Worker employed at a local business, yeah.
Thank you. Okay, now you guys are. Thank you.
Can I make another question?
Okay, we're gonna, if we do, we're gonna be here all night, you guys. We've got to move on with this. What, so it's been moved. Do we have a second on that?
Yes, glad a second.
Alla, okay. So, any more discussion on this?
Let's call the question.
All right. All those in favor of changing 153.176A3 to the primary occupant of the RV shall be a worker employed at a local business. All right. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
All right. Let's move on.
As a side note, it's probably legal to throw little notes up here to me.
All right, next. Are we any more comments on or edits on page 4? All right, moving to 5. Any comments or edits on 5?
That's it. Actually, at bottom of 4, I think, is where this. So 153-201A. Currently reads That's the one that allows people to, if they have sanitation provided or meet other conditions, to live on the property for a period of not more than 90 days. And I would like to make a motion to change the sentence A to delete the words for a period of not more than 90 days cumulative in any given calendar year. And the revised sentence would read, A, any owner of real property that is located within the town limits or family member or guest of such owner may occupy as a dwelling an RV located on such property if one of the following conditions is met. And then the conditions following stay the same way as they have been.
Wait, hang on, sorry.
They moved it.
The 173. So where are you at? No, well, I'm at the this. So I've inserted, if you look at my red line.
Yeah, yeah. No, I see where it's inserted, but it's not of 153.201 because theirs removes it.
Yeah.
And it's in.
No, no, what they removed was the D. They, okay. Yeah, yeah. They removed D.
Okay, sorry.
But this is,
so yeah. No one, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
We just can't.
So A is not on there?
No. A was not changed in the Planning Commission draft. I'm making a change in 150. What they did in the Planning Commission draft is take 150.201D and move it to 153.176.
173.
Yeah. But this is amending 153.201A.
So the Planning Commission had made no adjustments to that one, and you're proposing to add to letter A.
Yeah, to amend letter A by a deletion.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so.
I will second that.
All right, it's open for discussion.
Okay, so. My reasoning on this one is that, again, 153.201, as it exists in our current ordinance and has been in there for decades, has adequate conditions that address sanitation, generated noise, and other municipal concerns. If an occupancy for 90 days in a year causes no problem, then occupancy for the entire work season of 270 days isn't going to cause a problem either. As people point out in the public comment, we allow storage of RVs year-round on private property. And from a distance, there's no visual impact whether the RV is occupied or not. So my reasoning is basically that there is no municipal concern that would make us want to limit somebody to 90 days versus a longer stay. And by not putting a limit in at all, it is still a temporary use. It has still got to meet the requirements of an RV, which we define elsewhere in the ordinance. We simply don't bother putting in a specific time frame because, as has come up many times, we don't have someone to go out there and count the days and enforce it. So why have a limit? I think in practice, nobody's going to live in an RV 365 days. They're going to go somewhere warmer for the coldest months anyway.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, we almost need to change this to be in line with all the other things that are timeline stuff that's being changed here. I guess it's not, like, it seems like this actually isn't the place to address the timeline issue anyway. There's the temporary use thing for that. I mean, I guess, okay. Yeah, I don't think it's appropriate to put a time frame in here when there's already one in. We have to do something about this time frame. It makes the only thing that makes sense is to remove it in here now, the way that all the other changes are proposed, as far as I can see.
So you would just delete 90 days indefinitely, like, so there's no timeline and it would be on everything, like your property, if we're talking about the RV, or my gosh, the RV's on a business
or no, any no, of them. This is just in the 201, which is the one that allows the owner of real property to have that one is just strictly non-commercial basis.
Okay.
Owner and guests living on their property.
Okay.
And we just say we don't require, we don't try to put a time limit on how long the owner or guest can be in it.
Okay. So this is like you can live on your property or someone else can live in their property. This is not talking about the business as well.
Not talking about business. Yeah, because the further down in 201, it strictly says it says strict on a strictly non-commercial basis.
Okay, thanks.
So this is in general living on your property with no timeline, correct?
Yep.
In an RV.
That would be the intent.
No.
So I don't know. No, I don't know.
Okay. If that was not part of the public knowledge for comments, can we do that? I guess what I'm saying is I don't know what the public wants because it wasn't on my draft form here.
But we've had the public hearings and everything in both the Planning Commission and now for the public
to. But that's what this section that he's adding was not presented to the public.
So
presented to the public.
Yeah, I would say it was certainly discussed multiple times in Planning Commission. And they declined this change. But several people who commented tonight during the public hearing specifically addressed the longer stay. So the public did comment on this section during the public hearing.
Some people made that comment, but others didn't because they didn't think it was being discussed.
Yeah, Dan specifically mentioned it, and Blake specifically mentioned it.
Not in that document.
Yeah, and I...
The only thing state law requires is that we have the fact that we're discussing the ordinance as the on the public agenda 24 hours in advance. That is all that we're required to do.
You can't...
Well, I believe it needs to stand as it is. I don't like the open end on RVs. In general, on people's property. I just don't think it's a good idea. That was one of the things that when the Planning Commission was talking about it, it was a huge discussion.
Yeah. Would you accept 270 days?
How much?
270 days, which would cover the full tourist season.
So what do we consider the full tourist season?
8 months,
9 months, March. Isn't it normally April through November? Is that what it is? Isn't it normally April through November?
Mid-March. But we move our staff out of RVs into the staff house in the winter time because we know of the RVs. We shut them down. So we don't need any of our own thing, but I can't speak for anyone else. But we don't want them freezing, so we open in March 15th. But that would be the same for the Golden Mountain Lodge. And Dave did write saying that in the letter. So that was the other request from the public.
And so you're proposing what, John?
270 days. We're only 90 now.
All right. That at least it's not open end.
Okay. So I will amend my motion to say that it would be then changed. Let me make sure I read it correctly. It would be the current wording, but changing 90 days to 270 days. So it would say, any owner of real property that is located within the town limits or family member or guest may occupy an RV as a dwelling, an RV located on such property for a period of not more than 270 days accumulative in any given calendar year, if one of the following conditions is met.
All right. How do you feel about that, Gladys?
Okay, if one of the following conditions is met, and I'm sorry, I don't...
Okay, so the existing conditions, could you read them off of 201?
We only have
201. No, can you bring up on your computer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
153, yeah. 201, and then you could just read the A123. So one says it has to have working pathway facilities, water, meet the building code. Two is that if it doesn't have bathroom facilities, it has to be parked within 100 feet of a dwelling with bathroom facilities, or that it has a self-contained bathroom. And that one I would leave the 90 days if they're trying to work self-contained. In addition, it has the conditions under B about a generator and maintaining the property so it doesn't cause a nuisance, and occupied by a property owner or guest on a non-commercial basis, and they obtain the non-fee permit. That would be our temporary use permit, and only two non-owner occupied RVs located on the property at any one time. And C makes a distinction between the occupancy under 201 and an RV park as a commercial operation. Well, I think we've got more than adequate conditions to prevent any municipal concern.
Can I also just bring up, so the one thing too is that, so a lot of this RV ordinance was actually brought up to do with employing a school teacher at the school. And so it's hard because we don't have a school representative to say, but like off the top of my mind, right, school starts the middle of August and then it goes through the calendar year and then ends the end of May. And so at that point, we're like 9.5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're close. I mean, and it's not like you would go to the school and be like, you're over 2 weeks. But I do think that instead of just throwing out numbers right now to maybe make sure that those numbers are not going to hurt.
Yeah.
Or like making sure that we do the adequate to make sure, because again, this was why this was really brought up kind of in the planning commission to begin with, was about a school teacher. And so for the school to be able to provide housing for an RV. And so to make sure that that doesn't kind of hinder that one as we put in that timeline. Yeah. That's all.
If we made it 300 days, that certainly would cover the school, both the school year and the tour season.
Yeah. I mean, and either, I mean, it doesn't have to be consecutive. I mean, right. Because as long as you're saying 290, is that what you're saying?
Well, 270 is three count, is nine count. Months.
Yeah, so if you said 270, it doesn't matter which months those are.
Right.
So it doesn't matter in that case. I just meant to make sure that we're not,
yeah.
Not so that the school's doing it, just that's why they got brought up. That's all I wanted to make
sure. Does that 270 take in the school then? Really close. It seems.
Yeah, but that should be covered under the commercial component. I mean, that theoretically, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, we did put a time limit on the commercial and institutional properties. Well, this would more deal with someone who owns property and wants to stay here, whether they're working or whatever.
I mean, it would handle a bunch of the way a lot of us have lived here for years illegally and make it legal. None of this was brought up because there's some giant concern and we have a public health crisis in town and we need to deal with this problem. It was brought up by us trying to do something at the school, also recognizing that for years, people have been living illegal to our ordinances without any complaints in town because it's simply not the problem that we believe it to be. I lived this way for many years before I got a building permit. And quite frankly, I can think of six different ways to get around this with building permits for sheds, whether we pass this language or not, in an RV on my property. So it doesn't really matter either way. there's already a loophole I can think of in getting a building permit for a non-residential structure that qualifies as a building permit in our current language. And I'm personally fine with that. I feel like telling people how to live on their land is bizarre and really goes against both conservative values and property right values. And the fact that you might not like what your neighbor is doing, I mean, there's HOAs all over this country that you can pay to have people tell you how to live. And that's not why we're here in this town. We love our town. We want it to be cute and quaint and clean. We also want it to be free thinking and exploratory and unique. And something has to give there. And this is a very simple thing that we can do. And then we can always take back really easy if it gets out of control. It's super easy to undo this.
Well,
that's my take.
Okay.
My concern still is it was not part of what the public saw or thought that the hearing was about. I mean, I don't have strong feelings one way or another, but I don't think the public was really aware that that's what was going to be part of the hearing.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Well, we can postpone till we get it out there, or we'll have to deal with the other way. But it is a good point. Absolutely.
Okay.
So
I am, given that Ray would have had a lot to say about a lot of things we've been discussing, and he got a call, I'd like to make a motion that we table this until the next meeting.
Okay, I agree.
The whole ordinance or just that section?
The whole ordinance. We do want to do the resolutions yet tonight, so
yeah.
We've gotten through several items. We'll just table it and resume next month.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
I second that motion.
Okay.
All right. All in favor of tabling this RV ordinance until May? In fact, let's just vote that. All in favor, say aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
All right, it's tabled till May. Now, I want to say all documents will be in on Friday before this. They're not having any of the last minute documents float through because that was not a problem. So everybody make sure your documents are in, anything you want on this by Friday, okay? So that we can get it out to the public and they can see. All right.
Ready for the new contacts?
Okay. All right, Arch. Contact.
Can I watch?
Since we're at this, does anyone need a break?
Yes, I think that would be a good idea. Let's take a 5-minute break, should we?
Yep.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, Nancy said Gladys is correct. The change was not presented for a public hearing, and the school housing is covered under the commercial section. So stop reading those. They're good to know.
Okay.
What is that?
Well, and we've got quite a few other changes that we talked about. I don't think because I'm just starting to understand what it was. When I read through it, I didn't understand a whole lot of the stuff. Because how much longer have you got? I think about 3 more weeks. Or
up two.
Up two.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be 38 tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're getting close.
Yeah.
a lot of it.
I'm trying to figure out the problem that you perceive.
We're actually not going to finish that motion because we're tabled.
Well, yeah, but that's what motion to table does.
Okay,
it
yeah.
Leaves it ahead, so.
Okay.
We were discussing motion four and it never came to a conclusion.
Yeah, yes.
So we tabled it.
Yeah, the hierarchy of motions, the motion to table is, I think, the most powerful of all the motions and overruns any other motions pending.
Well, we just so we know where we pick up in May.
Did Gladys second that?
Yeah, that we were gonna table.
Hey,
yeah,
thank you. Again, trying to bring my transcribing skills back. Yep. Getting there.
Okay. Yes.
All right, everybody here. We back in business.
Here, did everybody here? Okay, we just lost. Three-fourths the audience.
All right. The next item of business, we have had a problem getting notarized in town. And Judy, of course, let her license go, which that's a good thing. So both Jessica and Lacey have volunteered to be notary. So, but we need to pay the fees for what they're doing. And to me, it is so worth it.
Yes.
I
looked that over. I will make the motion that we approve paying the fees for them being notaries.
I will second it.
All right. Any discussion with anybody, Josh? I think we're all so happy. All right. All in favor of paying the fees for both Lacey and Jessica as notaries, say aye.
Aye. Gladys.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Yay.
And I will say, mine is already almost done. I just have to wait for my actual notary number, and then you get to order the thing. So we're getting close. So Lacey still needs to take hers. I'm hoping mine will only be like a week from now, and then I'll send a notice out to the town. So for right now, sorry, you still do have to go over to the.
That's great.
One
great,
of the banks.
Great.
Maybe we should have some discussion on though. Perfectly all right using it for town business, but when it comes to private individuals, do you want, you can only come at certain hours? Do they pay extra if they want? They need a notary that, because Jessica can't run down town time to notarize somebody.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something we don't have to discuss at night. Let's think about what we're going to do next meeting, how you want to handle that.
And I think even just deciding if you are okay. So if it's like something that someone needs, so like plats, that's a lot of what we need. So if that needs to be notarized, that's town business. So you're okay. Maybe you don't actually care about charging a fee at all.
Right.
And so if someone can describe that, or maybe you do and you want to charge a small fee, if you guys will just lay that out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll put that down later on. All right. Next, resolutions on town appointments and delegation presented by John.
Okay. Well, I didn't quite meet the five-day notice on this, but it's pretty straightforward. I want to first thank Jeff Sanders for getting this started, and I want to thank everybody who gave input, including Michael Wynn. Can you bring this up on the screen here, and we can just go through? So what the purpose, the real motivation that started this is if you look at American Legal, right at the start, they have town officials. And I think, Gladys, you're the only one who's still correct on that list of town officials. Everyone else has moved to a different position as mayor or new people on planning commission. So that was the intention, was to get documented who these people are, who are exercising legal authority, different legal authorities on behalf of the towns.
when Jeff wrote it up, he decided, well, we should actually define what some of these positions are and what their duties are. So that's what the first part is hopefully just stating what we're already doing. The clerk and the deputy clerk, and there Michael Wynn brought up one issue that by the auditor's guidelines, the treasurer and the clerk need to be independent because they're the check and balance on each other financially. And he felt that a reasonable thing was just that the deputy clerk reports directly to the mayor, therefore you two are independent. And he said that with that, he didn't see a problem. We also realized in the previous list of officials, we had left off the Board of Adjustments. We added that. We acknowledged that the fact that we use both fire authority and fire marshal at different points in our ordinances.
Made them two different.
What?
So did you make them?
No, we just called it an alternative title. Oh, okay. Fire marshal, fire authority, alternative title, fire marshal.
Okay. So on the first page when he defines it, you'll see it.
Oh, says, okay. Yeah.
And there's two of them. So I see. John did the fire authority and then planning commission recording secretary. So the definitions are on the first. And then on the table, you'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, because in one place, in the planning commission section of the ordinance, it's called planning commission recording secretary. And in the notices section, it's called planning commission secretary. So when we get down to the meat of the resolution, the first red part is just naming the current elected officials and their terms of office or their expiration date of December of that year. Then we go through the list of all the town positions, clerk, deputy clerk, treasurer, planning commission secretary, zoning administrator, planning commission members, board of adjustment members, fire chief and fire authority, which I think it's everybody that is somewhere in the ordinance has some legal authority in the town. So it just gets the names, and hopefully maybe once a year we can update this for changes. So I would like to move that we adopt this resolution as a resolution 2024-1, documenting Boulder town elected officials and appointed staff positions for 2024.
Gladys will second that.
All right, any more discussion on this? All right, all in favor of adopting resolution number 2024-1 as is, say aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Next one, John?
And then I think next one's Josh's lateral resolutions.
Oh, I thought you had the two in there. Not there two?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so number 14, Josh.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
And then I pulled the road maintenance plan because that'll be for a future month.
All right, Josh.
Yeah, so I have proposed some policies and a resolution to approve them and adopt them for both the landfill and the dumpsters. Based upon there was some prior policies in it, and it kind of melded together the landfill and the dumpsters, and so I kind of clearly separated each of them, and then had Michael Wynn look at them as well, so they've been through. I made some minor adjustments from the version I had up from last week, mainly just rewording, just accepting some of Michael Wynn's rewords to clarify things. The only major addition to any change in the policy is that Cindy requested a minimum of 24 hours advance notice for off hours use, for appointment use of the landfill, which seems very reasonable. So I added that in here. And then I got the fee for off hour use. It's still free during regular hours. Appointments are $50 for the first load, which is based on the meeting minutes from the last update of the dump policies, where it said there should be a 2 hour minimum. So basically I just built that in. So it's $50 for the first load and $25 each additional load after that. Made it explicit that fees will be paid to the town clerk. We're still kind of working out all those, how we're going to do that efficiently, but that'll all come with website stuff that's coming up soon. And then I put a penalty clause in here and then asked for Michael's wording on how to make it, you know, just charging a fee instead of making it like, you know, perjury or misdemeanor or whatever we do. It's like, can we just charge them some money and that's it? So I should have proposed a dollar amount for a violation. I don't, you know, if it's $50 or whatever, I have that open for now, but,
I was thinking $500.
Okay.
It may result, you know what I mean? So then I guess maybe you could determine, maybe say up to $500. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. I'm okay with that. So, So I guess, overall, and I guess the other major change in here from the prior one is that the dump is open to both town and county residents, not just Boulder Town residents. And that's basically at the request of the county, who said, well, gee, we provide these dumpsters to you for free and empty them for free. And it would be real nice if you let folks in the county use your dumps so that the dumpsters didn't get screwed up. And boy, we'd sure have to hate pulling those from you. And I said, yeah, we would all hate the county stopping their dumpster service to Boulder. It would be a total nightmare. So it seems like an easy tit for tat to, and it just makes it easier on, you know, whoever's up there running the dump too. So that's a change that's new from the way it has been in the original policy. But so that other than that, it's all the same. And I just added some clarification in here to make it very, very explicit. So I guess I'll make a motion that we accept the resolution with an administrative assessment up to $500 for each violation. As I guess this would be resolution 2024-2, as presented with that amendment for the fine.
Can I ask a quick question?
Go ahead.
Up there.
Yeah, come up though, please, so I can hear you. Sorry.
Just reading that, Joe. Mark Elton. I was just reading. I noticed that you were going to allow vehicles now. Is that...
That was going to be my question.
Because it was my understanding we weren't doing that.
Right. We don't have room. So how are we going to put that in? I was going to.
But, well, so all of this is pulled out of our state permit. Like, this is what we say we're going to do to the state. So, and then actually we say we just hold them there for recycling in our state permit. So, I mean, I'm just like, I just went off what we say we're going to do to the state and then what the county wants for the dumpsters, and that pretty much scoped it out. I mean, in their state permit, we also say that we service the whole county and not just the town of Boulder. So I don't know, but that, like, I don't know what it looks like to not do what's in our state permit, I guess. Does that
make sense? I'm going to quickly second and then we can keep discussing. Okay,
yeah. Nice. Thanks, Gladys. Yeah.
Okay, so I remember, when I very first started, that they stopped the vehicles because we don't have the room. So we've got to try to find a way to get around that. I mean, we're having trouble getting rid of the metal. Can you imagine what it's going to be like if we piled up all the vehicles?
I will say, I just got an email today from the waste management people. They are going to come down and do their yearly audit, which means that they will meet with someone. They talk about, like, we have to hand over our documents, our everything for them. So maybe this is something that...
Maybe we ought to table this till May so that we can get the answer.
And there's other, I mean, you know, we could charge to take cars and charge a lot, and then, you know, we could do that. Like that.
Well, we could do that, and if they want it bad enough, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's either that or it's in people's yards. I mean, that's really, we got, it's a true thing out here. You gotta always have to consider the unintended consequences, like. But it does say that we just store them for transport to a junkyard.
Well, that's what maybe worth
the fee. Permit.
If you charge high enough, it would be for the fee to carry them out of the town.
Yeah.
Okay, I have one more question. Okay, Josh, you said that we have it open to all county residents. My only question about that is, apparently, you know, fire, cleaning up after fire, how much? There was a rumor that somebody was not accepting over to Escalante, so they were going to bring their stuff over to Boulder, and I said no. So I guess my question is, okay, are we opening ourselves up to, you know what I mean? Now, Boulder area residents, I'm fine with. And you know, in the area, I assume means that in the county, but I don't want it to get carried away. Just take it over to Boulder's dump. They'll handle it.
Yeah, Michael proposed different wording that I rejected there, and I left, it's open to all Boulder area residents, including both town and Garfield County residents. To be explicit, you know, like, we are only intending to service us. It also says contractors in large demolition projects must make arrangements for on-site waste containment and removal, which would fall into that category. So, I mean, I think
we're covered okay by that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is simply about empowering basically Cindy to make decisions that are simple and that she feels confident enforcing, right? So if some random person shows up with giant loads that she doesn't recognize or whatever, or clearly doesn't live here, then, you know, I think this policy should empower her, I feel like, to say, no, we're not going to accept that from, you know, Wayne County or even Escalante. We can't really do that. Yeah, that would be silly.
I think in the past, Josh, we sometimes used 84716 zip code, which gets the draw to Salt and Salt Gulch, that would exclude Tickaboo and Escalante.
Right. Yeah, actually, Michael asked a question and a comment, you know, so non-residents can't use the dump. And it's like, sure, I guess. We'll just, yes. Yeah, kind of interesting. You know, define resident, right? So at a certain point.
Can we just leave it at Boulder area residents?
Yeah, I mean, if there's problems, we can always change. This is real easy to change. It's just resolution, you know.
Other part, you know. So, and Boulder area, I mean, that doesn't count or anyone else, you know, it's just our surrounding area. And I guess, I don't know, could you go with the zip code? You know, anyone in 84716? I think Boulder area residents would cover ourselves. And take out including both town and Garfield County residents.
Well, I left that in to be explicit that if you don't live in town, you can use the dump, which is, you know, it's sort of a change. So it did. But I mean, I guess as long as everyone's aware of that means not just the town of Boulder. I mean, well, I'm open to whatever sounds reasonable to everyone.
How do you guys feel, Gladys?
I think maybe I'd go with Boulder area residents. And maybe if we clarify to Cindy what we're meaning, you know what I mean?
Well, to me, kind of, it's self-explanatory. Yeah. I mean, it's just the area, Boulder and the area, you know, area around.
We could say like unincorporated area, including both town and unincorporated residents. it's
yeah. Okay. All right, so make that motion. Then it, was there anything else you guys on here? Before we make a motion. Any other discussion?
I looked it over. I think it's a good job, Josh. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
So up to $500 on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Do we want to put a notation under vehicles that a fee may be charged? And then we could just remind us that we probably want to come back and set a fee at some point.
I don't know. I think we could set one tonight.
I know on the Wasatch Front, you typically will pay about $300 to have somebody haul away a junker car.
Probably around 4 or 5.
Yeah, I'd say 4 or 5 from down here.
Oh, I was like, yeah. I mean, by the time that you get a vehicle, trailer, gas, haul it up and back, like, then you have to get back home.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not what do you want to do? You want to put $500 on there?
Yeah.
Better. Okay. They're that desperate, we'll take their vehicle. Is that okay, Josh? That sound good
yeah.
to you?
Yeah, that sounds good. I added it into the draft here.
Hey, Josh, is that innate? Like,
yeah.
So as you make a motion, you can see the few things he's added in.
Okay, yeah, can you see it on the screen there? Special fee of 500 for vehicles. I think that's fine. Okay, yeah, so I guess then let's see, I made a motion, I guess. No,
I have a second.
Okay, as amended. Here. Okay, I think we're ready.
All right, I'll vote. So we've made the motion to accept this with the amended we're taking out, included both town and Garfield County residents. We have added the on the penalty and proper use of the landfill up to 500, and then vehicles. There's a charge of 500 to bring a vehicle to the landfill. Those are the edits. So all in favor of accepting the resolution 2024-2 with those edits, say aye.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
All right. All right. One thing I saw, you discussed the dumpsters. What about the violation? Did we put a number in the violation for the dumpsters?
I assumed it would be 500.
The same thing?
Same, yeah.
Okay. All right. I didn't write that down. Okay, thank you. Oh, All right. Getting initial requests for 2025 budget. Josh, I'm assuming, because I didn't know what that was, so is that you? I'm assuming it's maybe everybody finding, like, John, did you find out what the Planning Commission needed? Did they need any extra funds? Because Jess and I are going to put the budget together and present you guys when she gets back.
Yeah, well, I think a good start would be using the historic trend, the historic budgets, unless somebody comes up with some major new costs. I think, you know, the use wisely the $10,000 a year that the Planning Commission has been getting, I think it will be adequate, even with some additional training and so forth. Roads budget, I need to work with Jessica and look at some of the details of what previous jobs have cost to get a little better feel where we're spending our money. But that would, again, that's coming out of the seed money. So
yeah,
it's easy to adjust. Administrative, I think that was a big one we talked about. Now we've got more staff. I appreciate every thing that Michael Wynn is doing for us, but the cash register is ticking when he's on the phone. So we need to probably increase the administrative salaries, and then we missed the administrative taxes this year. I think Jessica's budget officer is probably the best. She's got the best resources to come up with the numbers. So
right on. And things are just so much better.
That was just something you guys literally asked in the last two meetings. So our regular meeting and the work meeting, you said for your departments, come up with numbers. So that was things that you guys asked. So if you're not going to put in input, I'm totally okay. But then I'll just present the numbers that I have.
Yeah.
So if you do have certain things, it can even just be an email. If no one quite understood that tonight, I apologize. And we can just make sure that as we get through, you can send it to me through email and we'll have that conversation.
Josh, did you talk to Corey?
No, I haven't. I'm not into 2025 yet. Sorry.
All right. Well, we're going to put it together and submit it, and then, you know, we'll tweak it and get it done.
Yeah.
So
what I have in my notes is basically we've got two meetings before the budget needs to be passed. So, you know, it'd be great if for May we had a draft budget, and maybe any items that you don't feel good about or need information on, you've highlighted, so we know we have to use the month of May to get those figured out.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. I mean, if push comes to shove, and to my knowledge, they haven't had to do this, but as long as it has to be in by June 30th, so by June 30th. So we do have a little wiggle room. We'll get it done.
Yeah.
But we wanted to know if you guys had, you know, if they had specified anything in particular that they were looking at. So check it out and we'll put something together. And I think I'll tell you, for last year's budget, coming that close for not having the information.
It was a great job.
Yeah, it turned out okay. And a budget is, you know, it's not set in stone. So anyway, all right, well. That was that part of it. Josh, your project list prioritization. Did you want
to? Yeah, so I sent you, I took everyone's ideas and I threw them in a spreadsheet and kind of attached some scores based on a few different concepts. Let me pull that open real quick. And so this looks busier than it is. I feel like, let's see. Well, let me share my screen. Yes. Okay. So basically I just kind of took our list of projects from the last meeting and then I scored them based upon the impact, how long they'll take to accomplish, how many resources they'll take to accomplish, and then how much it costs. And then I basically took the length of the project, the resources, and the cost, and I added them together, and then I multiplied it by the impact to get the score. So the multiplication helps spread things out more that are close, so it's easier to see differences. So, I mean, I guess if you haven't looked at this at all, it's you'll need to spend a minute with it, but basically impacts either, you know, if it's a slow impact and it narrowly affects only a few people or small group in town and it takes a long time to make that impact, then it scores low. Whereas if it's like a big deal to a wide number of people and immediate, then it scores higher. Same with duration. If it's short duration, it scores higher. If it's a long duration, it scores lower. And then if it takes a lot of people in time, it scores lower. If it's easy, it scores higher. And then obviously if it's free or essentially free to our, I guess it's if free-ish to our budget, then it scores higher than if it's real expensive. And so we end up with, you know, all these different scores, things that overlap. I kind of added them together to give them prominence. So like you both said EMTs. And so I took that only gets a 12, but I added them together because they're, it's mentioned twice. So the scores accumulate. So the breakdown of scores, you know, we have a bunch low, medium, high. So really, you know, and here's kind of the number of projects by group. So I haven't even really looked at what projects are in here, but normally you would say, okay, well, everything below a 20 is not a priority and everything above is. And so I guess I'll say, if you haven't looked at this for a minute, look at your projects, look at all the other projects, see how I've categorized these. If you don't agree with that, then, you know, change it. But anyway, spend some time with it. And then I think we should just kind of establish a cutoff and say, okay, well, you know, these things aren't overall in the priority list compared to these others. And then proceed accordingly as a group focused around those higher scoring issues. Does this all make sense? I don't know if this, I don't know what everyone is expecting from me either. So maybe I'm just really confusing this.
Oh, sure. So the higher the score, supposedly the higher the priority.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Yes.
It's all in the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the intention here is to standardize it a little bit. So, you know, if we can all agree on the criteria, at least, then it's easier to agree on the priorities that result, right? So I think for now, I would say everyone should just take a minute with this and see how they feel about how I've set this up, and then, you know, we can just touch base on it maybe at the next meeting. I mean, it's kind of a lot to go through and this is a long meeting already. So
yeah,
I don't personally want to dig into this intensely right now, but especially if no one's really looked at it. So it would just be kind of silly.
I would say also, as we look at it, you know, take a look at maybe what the top three priorities, even if they don't score a high number, like I really believe we need to get our bylaws in place. We have some in place, but they need help, let's put it that way. And because it's how the town runs, I think it's a really important thing to do. So let's take maybe, let's take a look at it. And May, I think, is going to be pretty busy with everything held and move on. Maybe we could take a look at this in June. We could put it down and discuss it in June and maybe come up with three or four things that we want to talk and hold on. Is that okay with everybody? You've done a good job.
I mean, even may work meeting if you decide to have one. You can decide to
do it. Yeah, if we had to do a work meeting, we could include it. So thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, take a look at it.
Okay. We will do that. All right. Let's next on the list is approval for the March checks issued.
You just might not wait. You'll have to wait for Gladys to come back in and out.
Oh, that's
that's
the
attention. Just for voting, right? She has to be here.
All right, let's give her a minute. She does.
Yeah, good questions or anything.
She's back.
She's back.
So, did we lose Josh?
Basically, what we said is we'll take a look at this class.
Yes.
And then maybe June or working.
Yeah.
We can help and decide what we want to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that good with you?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. So, approval of checks?
Yep.
Okay. Checks. I looked them over, and Jessica, now that you told me where to look, I found them right away, and the credit card and the deposits.
Yeah.
It is really nice.
It is. That's cool.
So,
you stay on the same line.
Really good. Yeah. So I would move that we approve the checks.
Gladys will second.
All right. All in favor of approving the checks for March, say aye. All those that don't want to move through, say no.
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Judy, aye.
Josh, aye.
All right. Up and coming business for May. So,
draft that.
Okay, let's see. So obviously, the work, a first draft on the budget will be run. I think we need at some point to talk about whether it be May or later, both having a meeting with the auditor for the town council. I think that's just good practice. And also the issue about whether the town needs some professional accounting support, which could affect the budget. I think those are important topics we should at least start thinking about. And since they do affect the one that does affect the budget, we should probably talk about when they items for the 3-year capital budget. There are so many ideas that have been thrown out. I'm thinking this is a case where we might want to do the sort of exercise where we take a big piece of paper and just let people call out projects and at least get them down, both from the commission and from the citizens, if there's ideas people have been talking about. Because once we get our detailed list, then we can start thinking about how realistic some of them are and what their priority is. But we just, there's a lot of good ideas out there. We need to start getting them listed. But then we do need to have a 3-year capital plan because, as Steve has reminded us, that's very important if you're trying to get community impact board money, is that have a capital plan.
Yeah, and also, in order that with that CBI money available every year, we certainly want to try to take advantage of that. And we do have to take, somebody in town has to take the class. So keep that in mind. I think they only had the class once this year. Last year you could do it. Was it last year or the year before you could do it Zoom? But this year you had to be there.
Mm.
And Zoom wasn't allowed. So anyway, keep that in mind. There'll be another class coming up next year. And by then we should have everything, at least have a good idea of which way we want to go. Keep your eye out for grants for anything you might want to, take a look at.
So I think just a good brainstorming session on 3-year capital budget will be good. Obviously, we have to finish the RV ordinance. We may have an actionable item for Meadowlark.
Oh, yeah.
And then we possibly will have an arts council request. That's the ones I had.
All right.
Are they just wanting to use to store their kilns in their whatever?
Put the container over by the sheds, probably.
But just to store their, okay.
So they would just need the town to say, yes, you can put your shipping container.
Yeah.
And it's yours. Okay.
Yeah, they still look at other options. So if you didn't want to bring it up this time.
That's okay.
Okay. Anything else anybody can think of?
I forgot to mention this, but I was reading in the paper, the county commission meeting minutes, they brought up these interlocal agreements with fire departments. And so I've reached out to David Tebbs, and I think we might have one of those to review next month. Let me add it to the list here. We've never had one, as far as I know, as far as Corey knows. So they said they were renewing them. And so I reached out and said, well, renew one with us.
Yeah, we have one, and it's how we get the funds from the county every year.
Okay. Can you, I'll tag you to provide it to me then.
Yeah, like a lot of the money that actually is in the fire is like we get a check from the county because they support it. Like they don't have to, they just allocate funds to every municipality's fire department to help out.
Now I've got that $6,000.
Okay. Well, go ahead and send that over, and then I guess Barry's drafting one. Maybe they're different. I don't even know, but okay, cool. That's good. Thanks, Jessica. And then so are we going to have a work meeting on the 2025 budget before the next meeting? Is that our plan, or are we
Jessica being gone and everything? That's pretty much, we talked about it, meeting on Friday and putting one together so that we could give it to you. We can present it in the meeting. And if we need more, then we could do a work meeting after that. But I think we should be able to get through it.
Okay, so basically you two are going to get together and take a stab out of it, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that sounds fine. You did great last year with almost no background to go on, so that's good. I'd say you're well qualified. I am. I'm poking around related to, it seems crazy to me that we're trying to run a town with, like, you know, whatever, 8% of our revenue as fixed income from property taxes. So I've requested from both Wayne and Garfield County, the municipal tax rates in the counties, and then also trying to get some information on what other municipalities are running as their property tax revenue as a percent of their budget revenue overall, and just kind of engaging an informed conversation about that. So I might have a presentation about that at the next meeting. That I would like to shoot for that. Let me just add it to the list here. And then related to that, I'm also going to ask about why our property tax revenue doubled. Wasn't it in 2023 or whenever it just randomly doubled? I'm going to ask about that and see if they can explain it, because I'm kind of talking to the treasurer over there. And then I also got a list of primary residences in Boulder while I was at it, which is useful for other conversations. So I will forward that on to you. I don't know if you had done that yet, but while I had them, you know, it's like, well, while I'm on the line, I have your attention. Let me ask all kinds of questions. Anyway, that's kind of what I'm working on in the background here.
Perfect. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, move that we adjourn. Yes.
All right.
Not bad.
Thank you, everybody.
Hey,
Josh.